Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Mike Massaro, the CEO of Flywire. Mike, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Karen.
So I'm really happy to be kicking off a series that we're doing with Flywire on cross-border payments, but a very particular type of cross-border payment, and that is the kinds of high-value, low-frequency transactions that are by and large done by those we call global citizens who are moving money from one country into another. It's a very exciting and emerging area of tremendous growth. So excited to talk to you about it. Let's start with the basics though. What are the needs of these global citizens? What do they really need and how do you fill it?
Yeah, what's really interesting in our segment, and I think it's broad with cross-border. I think everybody looks at cross-border and thinks, hey, there must be one use case here, moving backwards, you know, across borders and whichever direction. And I think what's most interesting to us is that the sender and the receiver both have challenges when it comes to cross-border, and so we built a solution that helps both of them with it. So for us, the receivers are, you know, currently educational institutions or medical hospitals, and then the payers, if you will, are, you know, international, these global citizens, international payers from all over the world, 220 countries and territories. And they want local, convenient ways to pay. They want a fair and reasonable foreign exchange rate. And they want someone there that can help them when they have questions about their payment, really.
So the receiver, I think what's so interesting about your business is that the receiver, which is the institution, not only needs to get the money, but they need to also understand how to apply the money that they're getting to the appropriate account. Is that the biggest pain point?
You know, it is. There's definitely real tangible costs as well, like, you know, international banking fees, transactional charges that you'll get when you're receiving money from a different country versus a U.S. payment. Those things exist as well. So there's kind of cost savings right away. And there's a bunch of manual work, as you mentioned, that comes from reconciling payments, identifying who sent you money. And when you get a lot of international payments, that challenge just continues to grow. You know, you're dealing with, you know, maybe a different name on the beneficiary information that comes across than who you're expecting the money from. Maybe it's a different spelling or different ordering of the name. So that can be a really confusing process for someone who's receiving lots of international payments. And so that I'd say that's probably the biggest that biggest pain point is this reconciliation payment exists.
So why are these global citizens moving money out of one country into another? What are the use cases? What are the needs?
Yeah, you know, I think the world in general just getting to be a smaller place. I think people travel the world more often. I think, you know, borders of course still exist, but I think a consumer's empowerment is much greater than it's been in you know, decades and centuries before, clearly. You know, the increase of, you know, airlines and air travel has been easier to travel, lower cost of travel in general. So more people, are seeing the world. At the same time, there's, I think there's relative wealth pockets in many of these countries where, you know, people want educational experiences they can't get in their home country. Maybe they need medical treatment in a different part of the world to either get access to certain types of treatment or care that makes them feel you know, more comfortable or is better targeted at whatever they're going through in their life. So I think those are two good examples. There's also a lot of travel, real estate purchases. Those types of things are all reasons why, you know, people are having to interact more with cross-border payments.
So, when you and I have talked about this in the past, we've carved out these cross-border payments into distinct buckets. There's the remittance, which is low dollar value, high frequency. That's not what Flywire does, nor is it necessarily what the global citizens' use cases, as you've just described, really need to cater to, which is moving money out to pay tuition, moving money out to apply for health and medical reasons. What's so different about those two types of cross-border transactions? And how do you need to be able to respond to those differences? How do you need to be built to respond to that?
Sure. If you look at traditional remittances, it's companies like MoneyGram, Western Union traditionally have been in that space. And there's a lot of upstarts, right, that are trying to digitize that, maybe go mobile first. And oftentimes the flows are going from a developed nation back to a home country where, maybe someone's working in the United States and sending money back to, Mexico or, family in India. That's typically the use case. I think what's in play in cross-border when it comes to money transmission or remittances is more of the what's available, how important is cash in that region, how important is it to get access to the spending vehicle that is common in that country. So many places it is still cash in that remittance market. And so that's a very big difference than kind of what our business is, which is really I'm making a large sum payment. I'm doing it from my country of, origination, right? I'm doing it from a place like China, India, Korea, the top three markets for international education, for instance. I'm doing it to the U.S. or the U.K. where, I may be having some family member studying abroad, a son, a daughter, et cetera. And I think that payment is different in the size. It's also different in the origination. Obviously, the quarter is kind of reversed. And you want to make sure that money, which is a large sum, gets there quickly, gets there at a reasonable cost, and is done through, I think, a trusted way. And oftentimes that's the way, that is approved by whoever you're paying, whether you're paying MIT or Georgetown or Brown or a medical hospital.
So we've talked about what's required, so the characteristics of the type of platform that needs to enable this. So how do you guys do it? How are you built to engineer these kinds of cross-border payments?
It's another huge difference with the traditional remittance space because the flow of money is kind of reversed, right? Remittance companies need a sending network and a payout network, really. Flywire needed to build a collection network. And so the money, again, is coming in countries all over the world, going to a handful of countries as opposed to coming in from one or two countries and going to 200 countries. It's the absolute opposite. And so we looked around and there were no companies that had kind of collection networks, right? And so we ended up going and building a series of banking partnerships. And so we work with some of the largest global banks, and we have Flywire accounts that are collection accounts all over the world. And those are that's where money comes from the consumers for these bill payments into those accounts. And likewise, it's not just bank accounts. We started hearing demands from consumers that they wanted to pay in other ways that were common, whether it be a Boleto in Brazil or China UnionPay credit card in China, Alipay in China. They wanted to be able to pay through ways that were common in their country of origin. And so we wanted to make sure our collection network wasn't just banking rails. It had alternative payment rails, credit card rails. And that's really what we've built up over the last 5 or 6 years.
Well, it's a fascinating topic because, as you point out, there are certainly opportunities for global citizens, the pockets of wealth in the countries that you've described and others, not necessarily wealth by perhaps our standards in the U.S., but by those developing country standards really are, in fact, giving them the opportunity to fund the experiences that they would like their family members, including their sons and daughters when they send them off to school, to experience. And it does require a trusted network to get the money from their method of payment to the institution, as well as the institution's ability to match that up with the proper account. I like the collection network moniker. I think that's very, very unique. Well, Mike, thanks very much for joining me today and for offering your perspective on what global citizens need and how Flywire is positioned to deliver that. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.